Have you ever wondered how the speakers choose their topics to speak on? Quick story. Pastor was sitting at his desk working on his sermon, and his little six-year-old daughter came in and said, Daddy, are you working on your sermon? He says, yes. And she says, why is there so many crumpled up papers in the trash can? Sometimes it's not always clear exactly what God wants speaker to talk about. And there are some who believe that if you plan ahead, you are actually quenching the power of the Spirit to influence you. But we happen to believe that God wants us to plan ahead, and God wants us to do things decently and in order, and God is big enough to change things along the way as He sees fit. So our sermonic year that's coming up in 2017 is going to bring some interesting ideas. And here to share with us today is a man who's growing older in maturity and can speak from an administrative point of view. As our head elder, you know, Bruce serves many different capacities, but I appreciate him so much. And the leadership that he gives to our team, I just want to say thank you. But I brought along an outline of what the elders have been talking about and discussing and praying over. And I just casually asked him earlier today before coming up here, would he be willing to speak to this just for a few minutes here?
All right. Well, thank you, Wendell. Having preached a few sermons in my life, I remember that my instructors would tell me, you know, God is with you as you prepare that sermon. And He's with you every bit as much in your preparation of that sermon as He is when you deliver it. And the story goes on. There was a pastor who one time said that when his congregation asked him how he prepared his sermons, he said, well, I do a diligent job of preparing the first half of my sermons, and then I let the Holy Spirit prepare the second half. And the committee came to him after some thought, and they said, we have decided that we like your sermons better than the Holy Spirit's sermons. Basically saying, preparation is how God leads a minister, a pastor, anyone who's in the pulpit. God's with you as you prepare. And if you've prepared well with the Spirit's help, you'll be able to deliver that sermon well. Well, we thought about this year as we prepare, really, for 2018. Because 2018 is going to be a conference-wide effort in which every single church in the Georgia-Cumberland Conference is going to be, is urged the right word? We shouldn't go any farther than that, but strongly urged, how about that, to have some evangelistic outreach, some kind of evangelism meeting, every single church during 2018. So 2017 was seen as a year in which we wanted to prepare for that. Well, we, as the elders got together, we thought, what should guide us in this coming year? The concept of family kept coming back to us, not only strengthening individual families, but using individual families as the springboard for talking about the church as a family. You know, the scriptures talk about us as the family of God, doesn't it? You know, it speaks about the church being the household of God. So there should be some connection between family life, individual families, and the church family. There should be a real connection between the two. So we begin to think about that and saying, well, what is it about an individual family? You all live under the same roof, okay? There's different experiences, but you all share the same home. You share the same roof. You share the same family dynamics, the same family life. And I don't think it's going too far out on a limb to say that our families nationwide, worldwide, need help today, don't they? Amen. We have a lot of stresses that forces that push against the family. And as individual families go in a church, can it not be said that the church as a family, as a whole, goes as well? So, we thought about looking at the whole sermon year in the light of us as church members living under the same roof. We share the same family, church family life. So we wanted to make it very practical, very usable and relatable throughout this year. And so we, as a way of kind of breaking it apart, we looked at the family and home in terms of different rooms. There's a living room, there's a kitchen, there's a playroom perhaps, there's a workshop, there's a bedroom. How would all of these fit? Well, we're starting today with the living room, and we're going to be looking at topics such as prayer, daily Bible study, meditation, the assurance of salvation, dealing with trials, problems, practicing joyfulness. These are subjects that kind of help to strengthen our own personal spiritual experience with Christ. And then we wanted to look at the idea of the family bedroom. What does that mean? We just want to talk about marriage, how to have a strong marriage, parenting as a Christian. How about singles in the family of God? Do they have something to say? Do they have needs? Surely they do. So we're going to look at those kind of subjects as we look at that. We're going to talk about the family kitchen. We're going to deal with some, how does health relate to us as Christian living? We probably will look at a few sermons that raise some questions as far as how should we live as Christians. We're going to have a sermon on decision-making and the will of God. How do we know that God is leading us to the right decisions in our personal life? So I could go on and on, but we're gonna hopefully together have a very good experience this year as we learn more and more about what it means to be the family of God.
Amen. Thank you, Bruce. Monday evening, we had our church board meeting here, and we touched on this idea of the family and the different rooms in the house. Afterwards, I went home because I knew I was, speaking this Sabbath. I began to think, Lord, what do you want me to speak on? I've got this list here, and I began to pray, and I think a miracle happened. I sat down in my living room and opened up this Bible, and this bookmark ribbon was not where it is today. I opened it up, and it landed on Colossians 3, and at the top heading, it says family relationships. This is the reason, Bruce, that we are in Colossians 3 today. And my message is very simple today. We are starting with the very basics of Christian living. Hopefully they are echoed in the living room of your home. You make a lot of decisions in the living room. Most of you either have a den or a living room. I know you have a TV in your bedroom. But you generally find a recliner and a lamp, sofas of some type, floral arrangements, some beautiful paintings or mirrors on the wall. Can you help me out? What would be some other things you would see in a living room? Family photos? Candy dish? I'm coming to visit you folks again.
It's a big one. You're good.
Family Bible? Yes. Yeah. Yes. The living room is not very livable. It's not very effective if there's no one in there doing any living. There are some decisions made in the living room daily. And if that happens to be your place of worship, a lot of things can happen there. Not all decisions are made in the living room. Some of you worship God in a private way, and then you worship in family worship, maybe around the kitchen table, maybe in an office at work. You have some private time to study. I would be very foolish to try to counsel you to spend time in God's Word only in written form, with the availability of CDs and apps through the App Store and other things. There are many different ways that the Word of God is available. I'm interested today, though, as you think of living in the living room, that you make a decision to spend some time with this book. I came down to the close of the sermon this morning in Ranger, and I was making an appeal. And my basic appeal, this, I don't know how to make this any more simplified. We all agreed as a church to spend 2 weeks. 2 weeks, which ends on the 28th, that each person there would make a covenant with God to spend some time daily in the Word. And as I was making the appeal, one of the dear members spoke up and said, "Well, what if you're already doing this?" And I realized I missed the mark right there. I know some of you are diligent students of Scripture. My appeal to you this morning is, let's do more. Let's spend some more time in this book. However you choose to do that is your business. But a decision can be made here today in this church to spend time in God's Word. And then in your living room is where you can act upon that decision. I was thinking of Emily and Jalen going to Camp Kalakwa to the prayer conference. Have I ever told you what happened to me there? Over 45 years ago, I was one of the students. I don't know if they asked me to go or they invited me or if they told me to go. As I was getting on the bus, my best friend was standing beside me and he was laughing. And he said, "Wendell, don't you go down there and get religion." His exact words. Well, I went down to Camp Kalakwa to the prayer conference. And I got it. I lost it. But I got it. And later on, I got it again and lost it again and got it again. Something good is going to happen. I just know it is. And if time lasts, I hope you remember what happens down there 45 years from now. Are you in Colossians 3? Well, I want to read some scripture here. Now, the main simple point of our sermon today is, in a few minutes, I want to ask you to spend time with God on a daily basis for 2 weeks. Then we will see what happens. In Colossians 3, in verse 10 and verse 12, and I thought it was in verse 14. 10, 12, and 14 is what I thought it was. I'm looking for the word put on, that phrase put on. 10, 12, and 14 is what I had in my notes there, but. Oh, was I right? Okay. As our resident scholar could share with you, the Greek word translated put on here is a picture expression. And you know my theology well enough here. I think I have some integrity. If not, I will listen to you after the meeting. Let me read the scripture and let's talk about it. Beginning with verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and you have put on, there it is, the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, kindness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also, what? Is it an option? So also you must do. Now verse 14. But above all these things, put on one more thing. Put on love, which is that caulking, that glue, that bonding of perfection. This word put on is a picture expression very, very easily explained in the fashion of putting on your clothes. If you are putting on a jacket or a sweater, you put in one arm, right arm, left arm, whichever way, doesn't really matter. Pull it up over your shoulders, put in the other arm. That's dressing yourself. Now somebody's going to say, Wendell, don't you know that God does this for you? You wear the robe of righteousness and you cannot put it on yourself. I'm saying that you determine how much you allow God to give you. It's a choice. It's a decision. You must purposefully choose to allow the Holy Spirit working in you so that you can put on these attributes of kindness and forbearance and forgiveness. All of those things that are so necessary in a marriage. You know, when I first got married, I was such an idiot. You can't undo the past. You can only go forward in the future. I think I would still do it again at the old age of 19. But my own expectations would be tempered just a little bit because of experience. My mother used to have a little plaque that hung by the stove all the time that says that said, kissing doesn't last, but cooking does. Wouldn't it be nice if women always understood how men thought? We'll talk about men some other day. Bruce, this is not in my notes. I'm getting sidetracked here. These very attributes that he says right here that the Christian should have, I want you to go home and look at this list and ask yourself, you don't have to ask anyone else, but ask yourself, have you put on that list? If you haven't put on that list, there may be a reason. The reason may be you cannot manufacture those things. Oh, you can pretend for a little while. But it has to be given you of God by faith. You must receive it and then make an application of it. And there's only one way. Listen to me. Only one way to have such a thing happen to you. Three times here, verses, was it 10, 12, and 14? It says to put on certain things. And I'm saying that you choose how much that you allow God to work in you. I think God's goal for you is much larger, much greater than you think it is. He wants you to be able to rise to the occasion. You can make a decision here and act on it in your living room to spend time with God each day, however you choose, morning, evening, night. I'm not even talking about prayer today. I'm just talking about the very basics of reading the Bible. And if you don't read well, if you will see me, I will get you some resources some way. There is so much available. You deserve to be in the presence of the living Word of God. That speaks daily to a person's circumstances. Listen to this verse. Verse 16. Let the word of God dwell in you. What's the next word? Doesn't say poorly or scarcely. But let the words of Scripture dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I probably know the first stanza of a million songs. Probably 50. And I love to sing. I make fun of it, but I really do like to sing. And I sing mostly by myself. The other day I was going through the house and I was singing a song. And Donna says, you were singing perfectly on key. Until... She knows all the songs in the hymnal by heart. But you know, it really didn't matter that much. I was just having fun. The only way to have the Word of God dwelling in you richly and overflowing is to put some of it in there. Now, is it too much to ask? Is it too much of a commitment today for me to ask you to consider the idea just for the next 2 weeks of finding a place of study in your living room. I'm giving you all the options. You can read out of the book of Psalms. You can read out of John. You can read any place out of the 66 books in that mobile library that you want to. I'm not even putting a time frame on it. I know what will happen. If you begin to spend 10 minutes, that 10 minutes will make you so thirsty you will want to spend 15. You spend 15, you will want to spend more. And you will never learn everything there is to learn about the Scripture because it's the living Word. You can read the same passage over and over, and it will speak to you according to the life circumstances of that day, of what's happening to you in that day. I don't know if I've ever opened the Bible up and just had the very topic that I want to speak on right there in the very front of me. The living Word, Chad. I'm going to pray. We're going to close.